Hey everybody, this is Brian here. I'm awake. Are you? I hope you're having a great day so far. We're going to get right into it. Wow. Where to start? We're going to start with scripture and then we're going to get into some things. And this is going to be Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purifications of sin, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he inherited a more excellent name than they. For which two of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? You, and again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "And let all the angels of God worship him." And all the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "O throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above all your companions." That's a very powerful passage, isn't it? Wow, that's a really powerful passage. Remember I said yesterday he holds all things together by the power of his word? We just read that. God the Father's anointed the Lord, Jesus. And this person that he's anointed is about to return in a pre-tribulation rapture. You know, I know at Christmas time it's Jesus in a manger, and Easter time, a Passover time, he's the slain lamb that took away the sins of the world. That's all true. There's coming a new chapter. And this new chapter is going to be, he's going to return in power. First, he's going to come, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 50, I think, through 54. He's going to come in a pre-tribulation rapture. Are these bodies that are sinful, that are corrupt, that have diseases and all these things wrong with us, all going to be gone in a twinkling of an eye? The dead in Christ will raise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with them in the air. And thus we'll always be with the Lord. And it says at the very end, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." That's why I say this all the time, especially these two passages. Also, Isaiah 26:19 talks about the rapture. And I read these and I bring these up all the time. Why? To comfort you, to comfort me, to remind me every single day. Every day, Brian needs a reminder of, oh yeah, right, okay. I just woke up. Reality just hit me. I'm in a sinful, unforgiven world. But the good news is Jesus has overcome the world. And if they hated him, they're going to hate us. So don't be surprised today if people come against you. Don't be surprised if all of a sudden, out of the blue, you just get blindsided by somebody. It might even be a Christian. But yeah. Sometimes the sheep hurt the sheep more than the wolves hurt the sheep. Sometimes it's the sheep in the flock that are kicking each other and hurting each other and biting each other. It's not the wolf coming into the pack to destroy. That can happen, totally can happen. But it's the sheep in the church, gossiping about somebody behind their back, you know, just whatever. It's just, it's bad. That's not God. That's not God's way. We're to believe. It says, how will you know? What does it say? It says, how do you know that they're your disciples? How will people recognize us differently than from the rest of the world? By the love we have for one another. Doesn't mean there's not issues. That's part of being a family. But you forgive, you forget. Unforgiveness is the most dangerous thing a believer can hold on to, because it will turn into bitterness, anger, and resentment, which will keep you from walking in what the Lord has called you to do. Will it keep the Lord from loving you? No. Will it keep him from providing for you? No. But it's going to hurt on your side of fellowshipping with him. I don't feel God. Well, maybe there's some stuff you need to give God. Me too. There's a lot of stuff going on in this world in this last days to really distract us, isn't there? All of a sudden, a bill comes out of nowhere. A sickness, a death, out of nowhere. Or you just get slammed. It's one after another after another. And it's like you can't get a break. What's the scripture say? Don't be surprised. James chapter 1, consider all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials. I'm going to find that guy. I'm going to talk to him about that verse. Well, I'm looking. Hey, I'm looking for James. Has anybody seen him? I'm up in heaven looking for him. I'm going to find him out. I'm going to GPS him up there, and I'm going to find him where he's hanging out at and talk to him about that passage. What are you doing? What do you mean, consider all joy? Do you know what I went through last night? Yeah, do you have any idea what I went through last night? So it's just, we're living in a tough world, but guess who's tougher? God's tougher. And I keep saying it over and over. All these signs that we see every single day are not for the unsaved, they're for the church. The unsaved see all this stuff and they're like, what's going on? That will lead them to the Lord. Some of this stuff is leading people to find Jesus. This crazy stuff, we're not the only ones that see it. But we understand it. We have discernment from the Holy Spirit that these things that we see is part of a huge picture. What's the huge picture? Jesus is going to come back in a pre-tribulation rapture anytime. We're on borrowed time, folks. Excuse me. Like, I've been following Bible prophecy since the early 80s. And we would see a significant biblical prophecy, something to deal with end times, once every few months. Now it's several a day, every day. Like what, Brian? Like what? You talk about this all the time. Well, a big one in 1948 was Israel became a nation. That was a big one. And by the way, it does say the generation that saw that, that was alive during that time, will not pass away before the coming of the Lord. So the generation that saw that birth of Israel is going to see the coming of God. 76 years ago, folks. What's another sign? How about the wars? I don't have to go into detail about that. Come on. Wars, rumors of wars. You guys know. You guys are smart. You're really smart, by the way. You guys are very, very informed. Like I said before, some of you should have your own podcast. We, more the merrier. We need more people out there to do this. Israel's war. Hamas. Hezbollah. Iran. Russia, Ukraine, rumors of wars, Taiwan and China, North Korea, South Korea. I mean, I can go on and on. You guys know. So if it wasn't just, if it was just one thing, I wouldn't think the Lord was about to come. And he could come anytime. He could make me a liar for sure. Okay. He could have come 100 years ago. But as we get along in time and time keeps passing on and the raptures show up, you can see things are setting up for something, right? They're setting up for the tribulation. Now, if I were a post-tribber, and I'm not, I would say that tribulation's about to start by all the events going on, especially with Israel. And that leads me to my next point. I did a video yesterday about the red heifer. Got a lot of feedback, really good feedback. I appreciate a couple of you guys sent me comments about Amir Safadi, about his video. I watched it. I don't 100% agree with him. I think he's a very godly man. He obviously loves the Lord, got a very big influence. And his videos about what's going on in the Middle East are really accurate. I get more news from him than I do anybody else when stuff's going on in Israel. He's very, very good. He loves the Lord. But I know what he said. It's fake news. It's a lie. This, that, and the other thing. I'm not going to get into it. You can watch the video. I wasn't even going to bring this up because there's only two comments in the comments yesterday about this. But I want to just give you my view. Okay? And I'm not here to debate anything. I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to share the gospel and give believers hope that Jesus is about to return and encourage people. That's it. That's what I'm here for. And so on this, getting through all, that's one thing when let's say a couple is arguing back and forth, it gets emotional, right? And then things are said back and forth. But really, when you get right down to it, you got to get to the bottom of the argument. What, and there's no argument here, but the bottom of the issues of what's really going on. Number one, it says in Daniel chapter 9, mentions sacrifices being stopped in the middle of the tribulation. So there has to be a temple to do sacrifices. It's another story, okay? In order to do that, you have to have a red heifer and you burn the ashes for purification. And up until a few months ago, it's been 2,000 years since there's been any red heifers. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem, I went to Israel in 2001. I have family there. And I went by there. I saw that place. And they have a lot of the artifacts. Way back then, they had almost all of them. Now they have everything. So they have all the artifacts and everything they need to do the ceremony. They know approximately where the location on the Temple Mount is. They know this is factual. And then if it wasn't just red heifers that I say Jesus is about to return, if it was just that and nothing else, yeah, I'd say he could come anytime. But the passion I have and that I know he's coming back, I wouldn't have. Why do I say that? From everything I just said. If it was just the red heifers were here, that's great. That's a huge prophetic thing. Don't get me wrong. It's huge. Look, they're talking about World War III every day, folks. Digital currency. The banks here, some of the banks here in America are getting rid of cash. I saw the article yesterday. I've been meaning to do a podcast on it, but I haven't had time. But they're getting rid of cash in our banks in the U.S. They're going to a digital system. Hello? Revelation 13, 16? Can buy or sell unless they have the mark. I mean, AI, pandemics, earthquakes. I mean, all the signs of the tribulation about to start are just right in front of our face. Excuse me, my iPad's acting up. They're right in front of us. If it was just one, but it's not one, it's many. Now all these signs are painting a picture. It's like a puzzle. They're all coming together. And what's the picture say? The picture's starting to take shape, and there's a picture of Jesus. He's about to return. Back to the red heifers. So we know there's going to be sacrifice. We know there's going to be a temple rebuilt. Most people agree with that. These ranchers that raise these heifers in Texas, I'm not sure who they really are. I never did research on them. If they say they're believers, they are. I don't know. But the argument is like, why is the church or Christians raising red heifers for a temple that the Antichrist is going to use? It makes sense, right? Putting all that aside, the facts are there are four red heifers. They are alive. And they are in Israel. They are. There's proof. The altar, if that's fake, I don't know. They don't need that altar. The one that they've shown on, I've actually shown pictures of it on my channel. Is it real or not? I don't know. But the red heifers are. Why did Amir Safadi come out and say this? I don't know. I really don't know. But there are red heifers. So, is my hope on red heifers? No. My hope is on Jesus returning to Rapture's home. If my hope was just on red heifers and one sign, it's not. Take the red heifers out of the picture. Look what's going on in our own country, in the U.S. and the world. Is lawlessness abounding in the U.S.? I read an article this morning. I might get to it. Probably not. You know how I do. I'm going to try. There's four or five blue cities, and they're taking bets on which one's going to collapse first. Paraphrase there with the bets. Which city? L.A., Chicago, New York? Which one's going to go down the tubes first? Businesses are just leaving in droves, and crime is, as you know, you guys watch, I don't, you guys know, you know that you know, because you live in some of these places. You see it firsthand. I do. I live in Southern California. I live about 45 minutes from downtown LA. So if it was just the red heifers, but it's not, it's everything else. What do we focus on? We focus on him. Only him, the maker and author of all things. He's about to return, folks. He's about to return. The writing is on the wall. It literally is on the wall. We see it every day. God is screaming from heaven, figuratively speaking, I'm about to return. Wake up, church. Wake up. Oh, sleeper, wake up. And a lot of people are waking up now. A lot. I'd like to see a lot more. But you guys obviously are awake. You watch my channel, and I know you watch other channels. And I know in your lives you're going through it. Some of you may not going through it too bad, but some of you are going through it really bad. So this whole thing with the red heifers, Amir Safadi, that's his opinion. I think he's right. He might be right about part of it. Maybe they're not going to sacrifice this week. We don't know. They could. They don't have to sacrifice during Passover week. To sacrifice. You don't have to. But just the fact that there's four red heifers on the scene and on the ground in Israel, and believe me, there hasn't been four red heifers for 2,000, excuse me, heifers, red heifers, for 2,000 years until just a little while ago when they got delivered to Israel. That's a fact. So look at the facts, not the emotion, not what people, that's the fact. All of a sudden, 2,000 years, at this time in history, the times we live right now, some rancher in Texas, it doesn't matter where they came from, raises red heifers and gives them to Israel. Wow. With everything else going on. And, you know, they don't talk about, we have a binary system coming in at warp speed. This huge binary system bringing all this stuff with it. Our sun's been acting up. You can go online. There's videos of the sun that looks orange in certain parts of the world. And there's no fires, no smoke. It looks orange. He's huge solar flares, CMEs. We're having a pole shift on the sun as we speak. The poles on the sun are flipping. And you know what else is flipping? The earth is turning. The earth's poles are starting to shift a little bit. It says in the scriptures that the earth rocks around and toddles like a drunkard man at one point during the tribulation. It just gets pulverized by these plagues. There's so much stuff going on. The earthquakes all over the world just are increasing substantially. And they are increasing. Things are, everything is like a big arrow. All these events, these world events and these news events, it's like a big arrow pointing up. What does it say in Luke? When you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. I think about this sometimes. I think about it all the time. There's going to come a time where I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. Ugh. Not asphalt, not concrete, not dirt. I'm going to be in the heavenly city with you guys. Wow. Think about that. Let me tell you, we're getting closer every day. So I just encourage you guys, like you've been doing, keep looking up. Keep pressing in. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're fighting in a war. If you're fighting alongside another soldier and he gets shot, you just leave him lay there? No. You stop. You take incoming fire. You risk your life. You go grab that soldier and you pick him up. You carry him to safety. You guys can make it. You're going to make it. Because the scripture says God's going to bring you into his heavenly kingdom. I read that yesterday. If he has to carry you himself, he'll do it. Just thought of something. It's a true story about a missionary a long time ago. I think it was in Russia, in Siberia. He got banished to Siberia. I think it's Siberia. I could be wrong. This is like 40 years ago. I just thought of this. And he was there with his wife and his, I think he had two daughters in this cabin, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. There was a military base maybe 10, 15 miles away, small town maybe 10, 15 miles away. He was kind of stuck in between them. They ran out of food. They had nothing left. Literally no food in the house. Nothing. And the wife was saying to him, honey, we have no food. They set the plates. He goes, we have no food. Literally no food. And he goes, God's going to give us food. He goes, but there's nothing. And there was like a blizzard going on at the time. It was a whiteout. And they kept waiting and they prayed. They thanked God for the food they were going to eat. There was no food on the table. Not even water at the time. And he goes, God's going to provide. He knows we need food. He goes, what about the military? I think the wife said, what about the military base? Because they usually would bring him the food. They'll bring us food. Well, what if they don't bring us food? He goes, then God will bring somebody else. Well, maybe the town nearby, we have friends there. Maybe they'll bring us food. They know we're here. And the husband said, and the wife goes, well, what if they don't? Then God will bring it himself. I'm getting emotional because when we think we've exhausted every avenue and there's nobody else, he still comes through. He doesn't need people. He uses us, but he doesn't need us. And so what happened was, all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. The wind's blowing at 50 miles an hour. Snow's going sideways. It's a blizzard. And the husband cracks the door open just a few inches, and this hand reaches in, like inside the door, and there's a loaf of bread on it. He pulls the bread off. This hand opens the door and there's nobody there. We forget how powerful and awesome our God is. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. In these last days, things, you know, I know a lot of you struggling financially, you can't even put food on the table or you barely have food to eat. I'm sorry that's happening. But God is your provider. Don't give up. Don't give up. Red heifers or no red heifers, the rapture is about to happen. 150%. Is it tomorrow? I don't know. Is it today? I don't know. I just know it's very, very soon. By all the events and everything I just talked about, very, very soon, folks. Don't be distracted by what's going on. Focus on the hope that's going to be revealed at the rapture. If you got cancer right now, you're in pain. If the rapture happens right now, what are you going to feel like? You're depressed right now? Just exhausted and tired? You hear that trumpet? The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. I'm not making this up. This is not an Amway meeting where I'm here to hype you up and give you hope. This is not like, yeah, you can do it, team. Go, team, go. No, this is God's word says this. I don't say this. I wouldn't get on here and say this unless it was written down in the Bible. And it is. And you know it is. And that's how close we are. Satan wants us to divide us. He wants to conquer us. He wants to destroy us. He's not our friend. He's not our friend at all, right? Either is this world system, and either is your flesh, which we war against every day. But thanks be to God, he's overcome all three of them. Now you are hidden in Christ. You're more than warriors. You're more than conquerors. You're seated in the heavenlies with him. You're going to be judging angels in the near future. Be like, what is that? Those talent shows, you know? America's Got Talent. Gabriel comes out. No, not so good. Next guy, okay. You know, Michael comes out, the archangel. Yeah, a little better, but not, no. We're going to judge angels. Probably not like that. Sorry about that. A little corny. But we are so close. We are so close. Oh, my goodness. Nobody has to tell you. You can feel it inside. I know you can. You can see it on TV. You can see it on your phone, your iPads, tablets, whatever you're using. You just turn them on for a minute. You can see what's going on. It's all for us to see. We're about out of here. We're about out of here. So I want to end with a scripture. Let's see, did I... Yeah, hold on a second, folks. Senior moment. Senior moment. Okay. Leave me with this one. This is a good one. Colossians 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Rapture. Almost there, folks. I love you guys. I appreciate all of you. Your comments are great. All you new saints that have joined, not subscribers, all you new saints, thank you. You guys are just awesome. Awesome. And, don't let confusion and fear distract you from what's really happening. What's really happening is Jesus is about to get his church. That's the next event on the prophetic calendar. And it's really close. We're almost home. Soon, very soon, we will hear the trumpet. You guys have a great rest of the day. This is Brian, your brother in the Lord. Love you guys. I'll see you at the rapture. Bye.